Holy Human with Leanne Rimes is a production of iHeartRadio. Hello, loves. Welcome to the Holy Human Podcast. Today, I'm going to ask you to expect the unexpected and to open your mind and your heart to all possibilities. My guest for this episode is a man who works with energies and concepts that differ from conventional Western ideas on the mind, body, and spirit. Shaman Durek is a sixth generational healer and a sought-after practitioner on the international metaphysical scene. I personally just finished his book, Spirit Hacking, and I absolutely loved it and highly recommend it. He's made a huge impact on my life, and I am so happy to have him join me on this episode of Holy Human. Shaman Durek, welcome to the Holy Human Podcast. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. I've been diving into your book for the past several days now. And I must tell you, it's one of my favorite books I've listened to in a long time because you explain things so eloquently and so simply. And so first off, I just want to thank you for putting this book, Spirit Hacking, out into the world, because I think it is much needed for the times we're in, and I have enjoyed it. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot from coming from you. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you. I want to start off with what shamanism is and what it isn't, if you could just explain that for everyone listening.
Yes, absolutely. So let's start with what it isn't. So it's not what people depict in movies and television with the guy holding the skull and doing black magic and, you know, conjuring up things and face painting and all this other things that they kind of depict shamanism to be. Shamanism is not a religion. It's not a practice of sacrificing animals, and it's not just based in plant medicine. What shamanism truly is shamanism is about having a relationship. So the core of shamanism is built on the relationship, and shamanism derived from mothers. So it started in ancient Africa, in old time Africa, in the old time when the earth was Pangaea, and women were the first shamans. And they were the shamans because they were the ability to bring both the medicine, connect to the ancestors, have relationship to the children, the tribe, to nature, to the animals, to their bodies, and to the senses, so that they could be able to thrive. So it was passed down through generations into men, and there's still women shamans, and there's still men shamans, and they exist in all cultures. You have the Sami people, who exist in Sweden and Norway and Denmark. You have the Eskimo tribes, the Native American tribes. You have the African tribes, the Peruvian tribes, Mexican tribes. You have the Polynesian, Samoan, Tongan. It's in every culture, and it has been a part of every culture, and it was it was the way in which the tribes would thrive, because a shaman's role is to be able to help each person stay in their autonomy with their skills and who they are, and be able to be true to themselves, but also to teach them and the tribe how to have a relationship with everyone around them from the most authentic place. So when you eat food, why are you eating that food? Having relationship with your body tells you what foods to eat, how to live with nature, how to be in harmony with nature, how to be in harmony with the animals on the earth, how to be in harmony with each other, and literally how to connect to your ancestors. And so shamanism is about a relationship, and that relationship connects into anthropology, sociology, physiology. Every aspect that you see today in the modern times is a part of the shamanic understanding, because in shamanism, people don't just come in and say, hey, fix me, because we don't fix anyone. What we do is we help you to be aware of what's possible for you through the interaction of yourself. So you're not coming to see me. When people come in, they're not coming to see me, they're coming to see themselves and have a relationship with themselves. And all I'm doing is holding a beautiful container of unconditional love and giving you the ability to remember who you are, why you are, and how important you are to everything that is taking place on the planet. And that's the shaman's true role.
Wow. For those listening, what is that experience like to be in a container with you in unconditional love?
So I feel like when we look at the context of psychology or psychotherapy, which has had such an, you know, it has helped a lot of people on the planet. But at the same time, when you go to see a psychologist or a psychotherapist, they are looking for certain nuances of behavior so that they can understand a great deal about the human psyche of what you're experiencing and what you're saying, and then kind of guide you to find those answers within yourself. But when you're in a container with a shaman or someone like me who's a spirit shaman, because there's different types of shamans and we can discuss that. When you're in a container with me, my role is to hold the most sacred place of unconditional love. So you can say anything, you can be anything, you can express anything in a place where no one's going to judge you, no one's sizing you up and saying, okay, this is what's happening to you, or, you know, you need to go on medication because of this, or, you know, we're not looking and diagnosing you. We are observing the process of the relationship of self-love, you being in autonomy, you recognizing and remembering yourself and seeing what's truly important, much like the coronavirus is doing right now, in a sense. The difference is, you know, you come into a circle, the coronavirus is making people really look at what's really valuable versus what they thought was valuable. Well, that's the same thing. It's in shamanism, you're coming into a space of seeing, like, these are the things that I've been affected by. Here are the things I've been putting my energy to. Here's the things that I've been allowing myself to be subjected to, and I don't have to. And here's the real me, and here's what my life can be when the real me is able to breathe and be present and feel loved and safe and secure to fully express itself without limitations, without labels, without conditions, without you're going to get in trouble or you're not going to go to heaven, you're doing something sinful, to a place of just pure unconditional love and acceptance of you. And that helps when you create a container like that. It gives people an opportunity to truly see the depth of what's really valuable and what is cherished and sacred within them. And to have a relationship with God is to have a relationship with what God created. And that's you. And that's everyone around you. And that's nature and so forth. So that's the shaman's key point, is to return the relationship back to people in society and back to yourself.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. You know, you talk a lot about love and unconditional love and self-love and love being such a natural, pure emotion that we're created from. Why do you think it's so difficult for us to connect with love and maintain that connection?
I feel that the reason why we have a difficulty maintaining that connection to love is because we were thrusted into a world where we were told we were only loved if, or if we don't do this, then love can be denied. It can be retracted. We can be ostracized. We can be shut out. We can get in trouble. And we can have love not be present anymore. We can be left alone. And so with that initial fear as a child, growing up in a world where you're domesticated the same way animals and dogs are and cats are domesticated to understanding how to live in your household, you're domesticated as a human being to follow the signals of being liked and loved for the purpose of securing your existence. And so when you have to secure your existence, you are not able to step into a space of true understanding of yourself, your brain, because you're living in an illogical world. Because a logical world would mean that a parent can say something to their child, but their child also has just as much rights to say to the parent, I really would like for you to work on yourself and love on yourself more, because loving on yourself more is going to be able to take all that stuff that you're carrying and stop putting it on me because it's causing me stress or it's causing me anxiety. The way you speak to me and the lexicon you use is not coming from a loving place. And so children should have the ability to not only take instruction to course correct themselves to becoming individuals that are functional and able to adapt and live and thrive and love and be generous and kind, but they should also be able to instruct their parents. And because we live in a world that says you have to obey your authority figures or else, and it's that message or else, people choose to go down paths that are contrary to their authenticity. They choose to be affected by what other people say versus what they say. They accept what someone says to them more so they accept what they say to themselves. And then they'll repeat the poison to themselves that was reflected to them by someone who wasn't able to love themselves and therefore projected that onto them. And so in society, the understanding of holding on to love is literally holding on to grace. And it's the understanding that God has given you grace. You have the ability, because you are a divine sovereign being, to choose to elect conversations or intellect that is either a lower frequency or lower dimensional thinking, which is filled in lack, fear, limitation, guilt, shame, or any of these other energies, or you can choose to invite intellectual connection to love, compassion, kindness, generosity, acceptance, understanding, and really coming into that place of love, because then it's sustainable. Then love is sustainable. And then you're not seeking outside of yourself to be loved in order to be valued.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I have found, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, that those lower energies, I'm more familiar with those. When you're talking about all of these, you know, joy, love, acceptance, I feel like for me, I'm just now starting to, in my own life, become very connected or more connected with those that I actually know that I have a choice. Like some people, I feel they don't even know what true joy, they don't know how to connect with that feeling or plug into it. So for my own self, I'm just starting to really get into like, oh, that's what joy feels like in my body. It becomes more of a bodily experience. So I can start to connect and re-plug back into those places more when I feel like I've gotten pulled back into the lower energies. So first off, how can we start to know that we have a choice? Because I think sometimes people hear like, oh, just choose a different feeling. And it's like, well, I don't even know what that feeling feels like necessarily.
So we live in a vast universe, a universe that is made up of intellectual communication and intel, that is what we call consciousness. And that consciousness has consciousness within consciousness within consciousness within consciousness. And every aspect of consciousness has within it a structure that creates a perception and then a reality. So there's no one reality. There are multiple realities. And so if, let's say, one like me, for instance, who grew up in a family where I was abused a lot, I had a stepmom who constantly called me names, put me down every day, you know. And so I begin to hear the program of you are. A lot of times when people use affirmations, they'll say things like I am, but they don't understand that the prefrontal lobe, your brain, does not register I am as a program to communicate to your cells, to your organs, to your soul. But the word you are is communicated as a necessary function dynamic to open up codes that you've been holding on to. So when you're growing up as a kid and you hear you are this, you are this, you are this, you're being programmed. And when it's obsessive and repetitive, you begin to believe it. So you begin to gravitate to that energy. It's the same thing as if you were a kid and I kept giving you chocolate ice cream and chocolate ice cream and chocolate ice cream, you would tend to choose chocolate ice cream unless you were in a place of realizing the possibility of something else existing. Now, in order to get to that place of possibility of existence, the first thing, and this is a shamanic spirit hack, is to remove the idea of analyzing your current situation with the information that you've already obtained. Because in shamanism, we have this belief that if you go to analyze something, you're using the functionary process of intellect based on what you've learned, what you've read, and what you've obtained up until that point. That same information is the reason why you're in the situation. So that information actually is null and void. And so we have to get away from analyzing and we have to go into observation. So every frequency exists in the universe. And the key element is, in order to bring it into the dynamic structure of your perception, which creates your reality, which creates your life, you have to be able to understand that it's there, it's present, and it's relatable to you and your senses, which are your emotions, your feelings, your visual, your hearing, and your environment. So your ego is what we call the conductor of your environment. So your ego's relationship with you, which most people say kill their ego, which has been a complete misnomer in the understanding of interpretation from Sanskrit and old Hindu texts, The ego's purpose is to be like your personal assistant. It takes whatever you believe about that construct and holds it in a dynamic structure so that you can be in that playground of that thought or that idea. So if you say there's no good men in the world, like I've heard women say this, the ego goes, okay, I'll make sure you date all the worst men. Money's hard to come by. The ego goes, great, got it. I'll make sure you'll never find money. I don't understand why things have to be so hard. Got it. You want things to be hard? I'll make a way. I'll take things that are easy and effortless for you. And it just gives you what you want to define your reality. So it's not good or bad. It just is. And so when you understand that your construct of what is possible is influenced by what you say and what you experience. So the best way to experience anything, and I can drop you into an exercise with this right now, my love.
Okay.
So what I want you to say is drop me into observation.
Drop me into observation.
Of unconditional love fulfilled within me.
Of unconditional love fulfilled within me. It makes me giggle.
You see what just happened?
It makes me giggle.
So, yeah. So in that moment, what you did, because you didn't analyze, you stepped into the unknown. So I do this a lot with people who have gone through trauma, like in war, when I'm doing stuff in Israel or Palestine or doing stuff in Turkey, in countries where people have been subjected to nothing but bombs and war. And they come from abused homes and drug homes and alcoholic fathers. They've never experienced prosperity. They've never experienced love. I say, it's okay, because they always say to me, well, how can I love if I've never been loved? Well, love exists as a frequency for all. All we have to do is drop into observation of that frequency, and all of a sudden it floods into our being. And once I do that with them and keep showing them how to stay in that observation, all of a sudden they understand what that is for them. And then they all of a sudden start telling their ego, this is the possibility. And then the ego starts drawing and changing the narrative. And then their life and perception and reality changes.
Wow. That just brought me to tears, by the way. That was amazing. Because it's, yeah, you're right. And especially for people who've been through trauma. Whew, that was some rapid fire enlightenment. All right. We are going to take a quick break to catch our breath. We'll be right back. Welcome back, loves. We were just talking about ways to reprogram trauma in our lives. Trauma has been a big part of my world, and like so many people, and you forget that that love is available. You really do. It's heartbreaking, and it's beautiful. It's both sides of the coin. It's heartbreaking and so beautiful at the same time when you instantly get flooded with it.
Yes, and we spend more time wanting to feel into other people's mental and emotional landscape, which is why we have so many issues with mental health on the planet, because the amount of expectation that we allow people to put on us, we don't understand that every time someone puts an expectation on us, there is a generator. In shamanism, we call a generator an energy source that moves energy. So the generator that generates expectation is fear, lack, and limitation. So when that generates expectation on you, it actually pulls magnetic energy from you. Well, in shamanism, we know that magnetic energy is what balances your neurological system, balances your hormones, balances your endocrine system, balances the way that your vastus, your body works, the way that you understand information, and also your neurological system, as well as your parasympathetic system, your nervous system, and also it generates how and much energy you actually have to maintain in the body, because your body is physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. The spiritual has to be the strongest to balance the mental, the emotional, and the physical. The magnetic energy, the why we have a moon, why we make love, why we have animals and we feel good when we release oxytocin, when we shop or have animals, is because we're generating magnetic energy, which releases, increases serotonin, releases oxytocin, and allows us to create that very feel-good feeling in our body. So the more people put expectations on themselves and receive expectations from others, it pulls magnetic energy away from you. And then all of a sudden you're irritable, you're depleted, your body's tired, you build inflammation, your body goes and releases cortisol, which turns into a serotoxin that starts to develop certain types of bacteria and viruses. Your free radical count goes up, the way that you regulate your sleep goes bad. Everything starts to go off. And then people wake up with, you know, fibroids and cancer and fatigue syndrome and a fog brain and depression, because the mental health aspect drops you into depression, suicide, when you don't have magnetic energy. That's why in ancient times, people would dance under the moon and bathe in the moon's light. That's why we have sun and moon, because the sun is active energy, which is the masculine, and the moon is feminine energy, which is the receiver, the perceiver, the one who brings to you sustenance. And so when that happens and you get that magnetic energy, you're able to do anything. I can't tell you how many people who I've worked with bipolar, people who are schizophrenic, people who had chronic depression, all of these things. The moment we rebalance the magnetic energy charges in their body, remove the expectations, remove the aggressive markers from the outside environment that was affecting them through their social situations, the friends they have, the food they were eating, and everything, all of those things start course correcting themselves. The chemical imbalance begin to become balanced and regulated. The body begin to go into homeostasis. And the way that they were able to conduct themselves as an individual, their heart rate was lowered. Their body was able to handle life in a much easier and effortless way, which I call true sustainability. And this is the focus of shamanism, is about creating human sustainability. Adaptation and evolution for the human being exists within the process of us being able to move with times, not to react to times. And so this is why you felt it so strong, because your being is going, oh, yes, this is what I need. More observation, more frequency relay, more awareness of energies that exist within this beautiful quantum universe that we live in.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at that from solely an energy perspective. And that's what you feel is, that's where we're out of alignment when we have anxiety and depression and all of these things that come in.
Yeah. So it's not just energy alignment. The energy alignment is the magnetic component, right? So it's how much of spirit is operating in your spiritual being. The aspect that causes those things to happen is because you're being bombarded with what we call aggressive markers. So aggressive markers can be anything. Let's say, for instance, you go out with a group of friends and your girlfriends start telling you all the horrible stories in their life that they're experiencing. Okay. And you don't say, you know what? I hear you, ladies, but let's talk about what's working in your life, what's making you feel good. Let's shift the narrative to focusing on the things that are, and so we can shift those energies to those things that are not. But instead, you're just subjecting yourself to that energy. You don't set a boundary. You don't say, I have a right to subject myself to other people's poison. So that's an aggressive marker. Then let's say, for instance, in your home, you go into your home, the colors on your walls do not match the frequencies of what we call your divine intellect. So a lot of times when people, like I did a workshop a couple weeks ago called Shamanic Feng Shui, teaching people about the placement, the color, the understanding of how to turn your home into a living spirit that actually replenishes you, not takes away from you. But a lot of people don't know about that, because in a shamanic time of tribal culture, shamans were the ones who went with the women and set up the tribe, because they would intuitively connect to this is where this should be in the east, this should be in the north. And so this, again, your home could also become an aggressive marker. Now you're eating food that has chemicals and toxins and all types of things. That's an aggressive marker to your system. So now you are taking responsibility to meet other people's expectations. Your magnetic energy is being pulled more. That's an aggressive marker. Now you're watching television, you're watching the news, and it's telling you all these horrible things about life. That's an aggressive marker. And before you know it, you have what we call a substantial amount of bombardment of aggressive markers. And every aggressive marker sends an attack to your system. Your system feels like it's under attack. So what happens when someone, it feels like they're constantly under attack? They start to go into fear. to panic. They start to create anxiety. They start to develop high levels of inflammation. They start to burn out their system. Their thermogenic system goes overloaded. And this creates what people have when they feel exhausted and tired. They feel like they don't feel motivated. They go into depression. They wake up going like, why am I here? What is my purpose? You know, that's how you know someone has so many aggressive markers attacking them that they just fall into that space. So in shamanism, we don't diagnose people bipolar, you're this, you're that, and label you with a whole bunch of lists that come along with it. We look at your spiritual, your mental, your emotional, your physical. And once we understand that the four pillars have to be activated equally in order for homeostasis to return to the mind, to the body, to the emotions and the spirit, that's what we focus on.
We, you know, obviously we talk a lot here about wholeness. And I think that's exactly what you're getting into is how do we return back to wholeness? You know, those four pillars are so important because we're not taught that ever to really look at these pillars of health. We get taught such a watered down version of that. And spirit's taught, you know, through religion. But I would love to hear from your perspective, like, what is God to you? And what is our, when we talk about getting in touch with spirit, what's the quickest way to drop into being in touch with our own spirit and with God?
Absolutely. So first thing, we have to understand what kind of planet we're on. We are on a planet that is known as a slave planet. Now, a slave planet means that there are people on this planet who want to gain power over other people for the purpose of production, service, and safety, security for their lifestyle and for what they want. So that means what? That means that in order to gain some level of authority over people, it's not enough to just enforce authority. To force authority, you have to create an idea that is so fear-based that you can literally change the very inner core dynamic of a human being. So when you create an idea that there is a God who will punish you, who gets jealous, who will decide if you go to heaven or hell. So it's a lottery. You don't know if you're going or not, and no one knows, but they can tell you that you aren't based on these rules they've created and indoctrinated, and be able to stifle you intellectually, stifle you emotionally, stifle your sensuality, which is your natural ability to sense, feel, and know, stifle your intuition, which comes from your sensuality, stifle your creativity, which comes from your sensuality and your intuition, stifle your ability to perceive outside of constructs, which comes from the feminine masculine, as we say in African wisdom, the feminine masculine dance that happens between in us, that spirit has in us, because sometimes men need to be feminine, sometimes men need to be masculine, sometimes women need to be masculine, sometimes women need to be feminine, and not lock it in a box of this is my role and I have to fit into this. And so when you create a God that has these abilities to punish, to deny, to reject, to hurt, and to cast you into a fiery pit of hell, and then you turn that God into an opinionated person who is judging you, then you say, well, if God can do it, I can do it too. So then it gives people the right to say, well, I can go kill in the name of God. Mm-hmm. I can go do this and I can punish you because God would punish you. Mm-hmm. So I get the ability because I've created a God that does these things, so I can do them too. And we can do them to each other. And so what happens is you build what we call a destructive code that's programmed in your deep subconscious mind that makes you punish yourself, makes you deny yourself, makes you judge yourself, makes you do the very thing because you are the essence of God. Now, where we talk about Jesus's love versus the Old Testament, which is talking about this villainous God, and we talk about what Jesus talked about, we talked about what shamanism talks about, what God really is versus mm-hmm. what God has been given to us to keep us in slavery of our fear of ourselves is the love. Is God is more than any human emotion could ever be projected because God is not the micro. God is the macro existing from the multidimensional realities of possibility. That means that those constricted ideas that religion plays out does not antiquate the power of the omnipresent, omnipotent, and omnipotent God that is so in its essence cannot go into fear, lack, limitation, or we would cease to exist. Everything would cease to exist because the macro would then destroy the micro. And it's not possible, because if the micro destroys, then the macro gets destroyed. And so we understand that the duality has to be removed altogether. So what does that mean? That means that God doesn't get jealous because jealousy comes from fear. God doesn't get angry because anger comes from fear. These things cannot antiquate God in essence, and therefore give men and people on the planet the right to hurt, to torture, to punish, to deny, to separate, to limit, to hold back love and kindness and generosity and seeing their brother and sister, not just in the flesh, but in the ocean, in the sun. And so in shamanism, we have a saying that says, in order to truly know God, one must know God's creation. And that's what you're speaking about, that you know the wind, you know the sun, you fall in love with the trees, you fall in love with the flowers, you fall in love with your body, you fall in love with yourself. Then you are understanding when Jesus said, you know, to thy own self be true, to know God is to go within, to as above, so below. The understanding is that as you love what God created, then you love God because you understand God, because God's majestic artistry cannot be held in a box of limitation and fear. It is so expansive and so beautiful and so powerful in the nature of that source that to define it in any human terms would limit its true expansion. So all we could ever do is just go, ah.
That's exactly what I feel like I'm doing over here, going, ah, that sounds so beautiful. And it's true. It's so true. You talked about the word duality. I would love for you to speak on that a little bit more and why growing past that duality is so important for us.
So, you know, and I love the understanding of wholeness, because wholeness is the true representation of awareness and observation of the all versus the one. Mm-hmm. So it is the pathway of the spirit, of the multi-spirit that is and shall always be a representation of each other and through each other. So wholeness is achieved through realizing that duality is created as a separation, is created as an either or mentality. It is a you versus me mentality, or this versus this. And what it does is it creates two energetic fields that create what we call a chaos factor. Now, a chaos factor, when something is pulled apart from its original source, which we call synergy, which is wholeness, right? It creates a chaos factor, and a chaos factor creates what we call a void, and the void creates darkness, and then darkness creates a holding space for all those who cannot find their frequency of resonance within the wholeness that was once, that is no longer, because they have separated themselves from it.
All right, time for another quick break, but we'll find more wholeness when we return. Welcome back, everyone. We were just discussing the key to wholeness with Shaman Durek.
So the key element is, if you imagine a tornado going around you and you're sitting in the center of the tornado, most human beings operate in the idea of linear perspective. They were taught by this world that there is a future and there is a past. They don't understand that the future and past only exist in the mental constructs, because you were told that there is a linear construct. But when you begin to understand wholeness, you understand that there is no linear construct and there is a quantum construct. There is a sphere of energy that is constantly moving and evolving around you in the center, that you don't have to do anything. Like, a lot of times when people say, oh, I'm starting a business, I'm like, you already started the business. The moment you thought about it, it was started.
Right.
And so the understanding is that people say, oh, I'm going to quit smoking. You're not going anywhere. You're always where you are. And all the spiritual forces are moving around you, waiting on you to have clarity, understanding, vision, acceptance, and relationship to that which you are proclaiming into manifestation. Mm. So when you go into duality, you are actually stepping into chaos theory. You're stepping into either or, this or that, and it creates what we call a conundrum because it pulls the energies away from you, which creates a void. And then people go into what I call limbo states. They go into, I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know what I want to do. I feel like I don't feel motivated. I don't know why I'm not finding love. I don't know why money doesn't come to me. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. The reason why you use the words, I don't know, we say in shamanism, a curse is not just because you say a word like, you know, F this or, you know, this thing. A curse is anytime you use a word that basically denounces your power, that goes against you in your power. So when you say, I don't know, you in that moment have become non-existent to your power. When you say, I can't, you are blinding yourself to the possibility and acknowledging that the possibility can and is possible for you to achieve. And so that's because you're in the void. And so when you're sitting in the void, you're sitting in darkness. And that's where our brothers and sisters who have not been able to see the wholeness, when they die, instead of going to the light where wholeness is present, they go to the darkness where they feel most comfortable. And that's why we came to Earth and took a human form. We're not here to learn anything. We're here to remember, because where we come from, we have infinite knowledge, but we had to erase that knowledge so we can come to this playing field, learn how the different frequencies of lower frequencies that exist, which made our brothers and sisters turn away from the light, and then bring it through our bodies and transmutate it through alchemy, change it into love. And then we can reach into the darkness and bring our brothers and sisters home and bring them back to heaven. This is an evacuation while we are uplifting the planet into ascension. So this ascension process that a lot of people talk about, they think it's like, okay, we're just going to lift the planet. It's not about lifting the planet. It's about facing your shadow. Mm-hmm. It's about going into the void to our brothers and sisters who have forgotten, and shine your light into it so that the void closes and the two sides that were against each other come together. And when you come together, you have synergy, which means wholeness. And that is what we are speaking about.
You have said that, you know, if people can be all about love and light, but you can't really be all about love and light if you can't face the darkness. And I know for my own self, like wholeness, I couldn't even feel that concept until I turned and faced my own darkness everywhere that I didn't want to look. Until we start to look there, that idea of wholeness, there's no returning there. It is scary. It's still scary. There's still parts of me that come up that I'm like, whoa, that just took me by surprise. I was just talking about that not long ago where I'm like, whoa, I had this outburst of anger like out of nowhere. And it was like, there's a piece of me that I have yet to touch upon. And I'm still trying to feel into those pieces. So, you know, how can we take some of the fear away of turning towards the darkness?
So the first key is to understand the darkness. And, you know, one of the things that I do a lot with my young, and I call them RSs, which is remembrance students. So I work with a lot of kids, 10, 14, 16, 17, and really help them, and also with elderly people, to help them so that they are not afraid of the darkness. One woman in Texas said to me, you know, Shaman Dirk, I think the devil came in my room last night. I said, baby, if the devil came in your room last night, I hope you asked that devil to lunch. She said, what? I said, yes, so you can find out what's going on. You need to talk. Take the devil out to lunch. If one guy said to me in Mississippi, he said to me, Shaman Dirk, last night I felt it was a real dark presence in the room. And I said, did you turn to the darkness and say, so did you come to look at what the light looks like? Did you come to look at me? Let me show you how glorious and beautiful this light is so you can come home. You see, the key is that when you're dealing with the darkness, and I'm going to actually walk you through an exercise right now so you can actually talk to the darkness yourself so you can see what they have to say. But literally, okay, the darkness are our brothers and sisters who are hiding away from the light in the center of that void where the chaos is on both sides. So when darkness has shown, the darkness is afraid that it can never be loved. It can never be forgiven, accepted. Now I'm going to start crying. It could never be.
I was about to, too.
You know, it can never have redemption for the choices that it made, even though we are eternal beings. And so because of that, these beautiful souls who have fell into their own darkness because of the hurt they caused themselves with their own inability to see what was possible for them or what they took on from someone else, if they were murderers or whatever it is, they're stuck in this dark realm and they're trying to get out, but they can't. So what they do is they take claim to the darkness and they get into the minds of people on Earth and get them to make scary movies and get them to put a lot of horror out there and get them to act out the things that they could not be loved from. And so when we see darkness, we see evil. We judge it. We're afraid of it. We see scary movies. We see monsters. And they're really just our brothers and sisters who are saying, you could never love me. Just turn away from me. Don't come into the darkness. Just leave. Go back to heaven. Why are you here? This planet has a void and you came here to free me and you can't free me because you will never be able to love me because I'm not lovable. And so our role is to become like Jesus did, to love greater than the fear, love greater than the hate, love greater than all of it. So we can reach in there and say, no, you're wrong. I love you and I'm bringing you home. And I've come here to bring you home. I took a human form to understand what made you fall into those perils. And I've come to bring you home. And when you do that, you understand Operation Lift the Planet. It's not just lifting the planet. The planet is holding the energy of that void that we've come here to assist. And as we assist this planet to move into fifth dimension, the void gets closed. And that's what fifth dimension is when the void closes, the light shines forth and we get what is known as heaven on earth. We remove the barriers, the limitations, the lacks, and the principles of fear from the planet, and we step into a relationship with love. And so what I want you to do right now is I want you to place your finger on your left temple.
Okay.
This is the side we listen to darkness on. The right is where we listen to the light.
Okay.
And I want you to say, darkness.
Darkness.
I'm here to speak to you with no judgment.
I'm here to speak to you with no judgment.
Are you here?
Are you here? Oh, yeah.
They want us to be at odds with the darkness. They want us to turn their back on them. I didn't leave heaven, the most beautiful place where I could swim and fly and eat whatever I want and have the most amazing views and sceneries and mountains and all of these forms I could take whenever I want to come into this human form in this biological spacesuit, to take on these frequencies of suffering and pain and hurt and lack and loss and all of these things, just because I did it. Because I love my brothers and sisters who are trapped in that void. And I'm walking towards that void every day to go in there and shine my light and be a bridge for them, a ladder for them to climb out of that void and come home.
How do we know when these spirits, this darkness is connected to us? And can we clear it ourselves? I mean, I think
yes.
I mean, you definitely have been one that you promote our, you know, using, we are our own healers, which I think is so beautiful. So yeah, how do we know when that is occurring?
So you know when it's occurring when people use the word "I feel blocked." Okay. When someone is saying, I can't make money, or I can't find love, or I have this health thing happening to me, or this thing is happening to me. You see, darkness comes in to give you what the light won't do, which is to keep you in limitation, lack, and fear. So human beings call the darkness in when they go against themselves in words, in behavior, and in the way they conduct their lives. So anytime you feel like there's something you can't get to or you can't get through, that's because there's a spirit governing it. So what we call it a parasitic energy. It means an energy that is feeding into your being for your light by serving you so that you can be stagnant and you can be blocked and you can be limited and you can complain and you can say life sucks and you can say, I never find love or I can never lose weight or I can never this and I can never that. That's because the darkness gives you the opportunity to say that in exchange for your life force, because it needs the light, but it doesn't need the light from you in its full capacity. It needs it in distorted form so that it can feed off of that. So how does it get distorted? When you think against creation, when you think against love. The reason why human beings suffer is because of malfunction in thinking. It means you think against love. You think against creation. You go against you. You say, I'm not this and I'm not that. That's you putting down God, because you are everything. You are beautiful. You are intelligent. You are divine. You are like an innovator. You are a change maker. You are a healer. You are a shaman. You are a guru. You are everything and all things that you look up to or see as a role model. You are all those things. So anytime you wake up or take a word out of your mouth or think a thought in your mind or feel a feeling in your being that is contrary to the magnificent being that is here right now, you are going against the grain, which means, and if people want to use a religious term, you are sinning against God. You are going against God because you are taking, you are ripping apart, cutting, you are destroying the beautiful creation that you are, and taking and distorting it and saying, no, God, you've got it wrong. I'm horrible. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm this. I'm that. And that is literally you going against the grain. That is the ultimate sin. The ultimate sin is the sin against love. And so that is when we suffer. We suffer because we want to have pride and righteousness over the thing that is causing us pain instead of surrender. The pride and righteousness is why we have war on our planet. The pride and righteousness is why you have people going, oh, I can't stand white people, or I can't stand black people, or I can't stand this thing, and I can't stand that thing. Pride and righteousness is like staking claim to something for safety and security. People hold pride, my love, and righteousness so they can have security, because it makes them feel safe in their righteousness and their pride. That's why people argue. Why do people argue and bicker? You know, I'm not going to bicker and argue with my girlfriend. I'm not going to argue and bicker with my girlfriend, because why? Because what am I arguing and bickering over? Why am I going to make opinions out of my mouth that doesn't support us as a wholeness, as a family on earth? Why am I going to make individual opinions? That's because of your pride and righteousness, and that comes from you needing to be safe. And that is the greatest sin, is to not surrender to the everlasting love that is you, that is waiting for you to turn into that little boy, that little girl, and say, okay, God, okay, source, okay, spirit. So you are God the whole time waiting for me to join you. Got it.
I love it. I love it so much. I mean, I really want to take that whole rant that you just went on and place it on my bedside table on my phone and press play every morning and be like, this is how I'm going to start my day. It felt so good. I want to talk about, I'm going to pivot for a second and talk about music, because I know you love music so very much. And I think that music is something that clearly, from my personal opinion, so deeply connects all of us. So here I like to ask everyone on the that comes on the show, we call it the Holy Five. If there are five songs that what are five songs that you feel most connected to, maybe throughout your life, or maybe it's just in this moment now, anything that's lighting you up, what would those be?
Okay, so I would say the first one is Florida Georgia Line, Holy.
Love you. Getting into some country music.
You know who I am.
I know. I love it.
But my other one would be Jake Owen, Made For You. Kissing and I was made for you.
Yeah, I was made for you. Okay.
Thomas Rhett, Blessed.
Aw, I love this. People say I'm lucky. Lucky ain't the word, oh, I'm
blessed. And all I ain't got is my breath. You stole it. Daris Rucker, Rock Me Like a Wagon Wheel.
Oh, that's a great song.
Pretty much every morning.
Such a happy song. So rock me, mama.
And I love Johnny Cash and June Carter Jackson because, I mean, there's nothing like putting on some cowboy boots and just listen to Johnny Cash and June Carter sing together. Now we got mad at a fever, harder than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson. It just brings flutters to my heart. And every, like, my girlfriend, you know, she never used to listen to country. And when we fell in love, we've been together now for 2 years, I got her into country and she loves it. And, you know, I always feel to me, country music is the closest connection to me to creation, because it's real talk, it's real feelings, it's real life, it's real people. It's not trying to move anything or blend anything. It's just like, this is how it is. This is real. And this is from the heart. And that touches home for me. And that's when I feel home. That's when I feel like I'm at peace.
I love that. That's amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that, because I just love your passion. Your passion is so inspires me. And I love everything you're doing and putting out in this world. Thank you for your gifts that you are sharing. And I'm so honored to call you my friend. Thank you.
I love you, sweetheart. Always have since the day that we met.
I love you too. And that is it for this episode. If you know someone you think might benefit from its message, please send them a link to it. And I would love to hear from you too. So leave me a message and rating wherever you listen. On our next Holy Human, we're going to welcome a man who has made meditation a practical, scientific, and easily accessible tool, even for cynics and skeptics. I was on his 10% Happier podcast a few years ago, and I have to say it was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. So he is here to return the favor, my dear friend Dan Harris. You will not want to miss this episode. Listen and follow Holy Human on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.